Blog Talk Radio.
In the problem of Atlantis, I think there are a number of points that have not been generally considered. We think of Atlantis as an island, probably somewhere in the Atlantic, and probably about in the location of the present Azores Islands. But actually, Atlantis was a diffusion. If you buy a map now of the world as it is today, you can say that that is the modern distribution. But to have a map of Atlantis as it was in the time of its glory, you would have to have a map of the entire planet, because it was a distribution. Continents rose and fell, islands came up and went down, great land shifts occurred, and the Atlantic distribution of land was far more important and far more far-reaching than the mere problem of an island somewhere in the ocean. So we have to think of Atlantis in a relationship to a complete pattern of the planet. As Plato clearly points out, the island of Posidonis, which we now think of as Atlantis, was the last fragment of a great empire. It was the last surviving part, and is supposed to have disappeared under the ocean about 12,000 years before the Trojan War, which would make it about 15,000 years ago. Now, in connection with the problem of Atlantis, I think the next thing we have to study is the name. Plato refers to the mysterious empire as Atlantis. He probably received this name or secured it from Solon, who in turn had received it from the priests of the Egyptian temple at Sais. Now, the word Atlantis, or its root, is not Egyptian and it is not Greek. No one seems to be able to trace the origin of the name. It appears on two very important phases of ancient mythology, Atlantis and Atlas. And the root is ATL, Atal. Now, if we look to find the language in which that word or that root is permissible or was used, we find you have to come to the Western Hemisphere, because Atal was one of the month names of the Mayas. It also has more than just a name significance. Its glyph, or its symbol, is a deluge. This seems, then, to give us the real basis of our word, that we are dealing with a term that represents a world experience, that various countries were involved in it, that the circumstances were known around the entire planet, and that the name that has survived to us today is probably based upon the records on the Western Hemisphere. Now, if we take the general term to represent this mysterious region, we then can find from the Codex Trojano, which is in the museum in Madrid, one of the surviving documents of the Mayas, that this particular deluge is marked in the glyphs of the people. The story is told in pictures, but among these pictures, there is one in which the sky dragon or the sky serpent is pouring water from its mouth, and below this, the god of death is dancing on the earth. Now, this was a long time ago, long before the coming of the Spaniards, but the records even go much further than that. According to the Chinese, the previous existence before our present coming to this earth was destroyed. The previous world was destroyed by water, a tremendous deluge. And in Yi Qing, the eight trigrams, basic trigrams, correspond to Noah and his wife, their three sons and their three wives, were the eight who were saved. And this is exactly what the Chinese tell us. So the story goes around here and there and everywhere. It's a very interesting story, but what does it really mean? Is it merely an archaeological curiosity, or does it have some dynamic value for us today? I would like to think of Atlantis much as Lord Bacon did in his book, The New Atlantis, in which he says in very simple terms, the New Atlantis, which is America. Bacon was quite convinced that on the Western Hemisphere, a great empire would arise, an empire that would surpass the glory of the Atlantean story, and that this new world would not be destroyed. It would not turn against the gods. It would not misuse the energies of nature, and as a result, would become a new world, a restoration of the Golden Age. Now, when we study this Atlantean problem a little more carefully, we realize there's been a number of speculations on it. Vice President Dawes made quite an extensive search for the Atlantean world. A number of good archaeologists and entomologists have devoted time to it. And the general attitude is no longer to discard it as a fable, but to try to find out what its actual meaning could be. Now, let us suppose that Solon was correct, and that Solon, being an old man, was unable to do what he had intended to do, and that was to write out an account of the lost Atlantis as he found it, or it was given to him, in the caves under the Temple of Thais in Egypt. Here on columns formed of orichalcum, a metal that cannot perish, was recorded the story of a lost world. These two tablets are sometimes referred to as the Tables of Enoch, and we find a great deal of mystical lore surrounding this story. In any event, Solon, being very old and unable to carry on the work, passed the legend on to one of his descendants who was a student of Plato's. And this student, in turn, told Plato, who took the story, to use it as a great symbolical account of the descent of man. Now, Plato does not deny that the story is literally true, but he does point out so many very subtle and unusual details that we are forced to realize that he embellished it to represent the entire story of the planet Earth and its development. According to Plato, at a remote time, the gods of High Olympus distributed the world to their various sub-deities. And to Poseidon was given the lands of the sea, the great oceans, the islands, the archipelagos. And Poseidon created his kingdom in the ocean. And he created a wonderful city called the City of the Golden Gate. And in this city there was a temple to him. And in this temple were the tablets containing the laws of life, the laws that must be obeyed. His plan is to survive and to enjoy the favors of the gods. And the Atlantic Empire consisted of seven islands. And these seven islands also occur in Mexican story. These islands came together to form a league. And this league, in turn, created a kind of empire. And in the course of ages, became very proud. They decided they would conquer the world. So in order to achieve this great end, they decided to send expeditions of conquest over all the other parts of the then Atlantean distribution.
Thank you for your ear. This is Black Noise Radio, produced by DJ Monk for Bluesing Tank. Feel a deep mix of music and thoughts. Please listen quietly. Focus on the vibe in your hearts and minds.
This is Black Noise Radio. I am DJ Monk. That was Dania Davenport, formerly of Brand New Heavies of the 90s. And that was Whatever you want. The first track was, I believe, on the Inaya album of Abdullah Ibrahim is known for Dollar Brand, South African style of music, jazz incorporated music from Africa, and that was African River. I played that as we continue to look at the moral decline and the fake sense of religion and growing cultural divides here in our nation. And I initially gave about a 10-minute segment of Manly P. Hall talking about things that folk don't want to talk about, which is this. Prior to our existence as upright humans, there were some other things going on this planet that has affected our forward path, historically, metaphysically, socially, and consciously. So as the information has been better developed now, I am trying to pull it together. 5-10 years ago, it was quackery. You know, you didn't have the evidence. But now you got something roving around called International Space Station that actually is documenting everything on this planet and can penetrate beyond firmament. Huh. You need to look that up. Beyond the firmament. We just had a power outage. Wow, what was that? That was wild. What was that?